All right, just remain standing, turn in your Bible, if you will, to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. The book of Luke, chapter number 15. Thank God he loves me. Amen. I mentioned there's a good crowd in the house of God. I'm glad every one of us can say he loves me. It's not just a selective love. Amen. It's a universal love. We can teach our children to say, he loves me. They can sing that song, Jesus loves me. And we don't have to wonder if it's true or not. He loves them. Amen. He loves them, everyone. Amen. And I'm so glad that he does. And he even loves us when we're not lovely. Amen. I put in the bulletin this morning a verse from Luke 15. There where the father saw the son afar off and came running. I'm glad our God, our Father, is so merciful and ready to forgive. Amen. Amen. Ready to forgive. And I thank him and praise him for that. Amen. All right, Luke chapter number 15. We're going to start in verse number 11. This is one parable, you know, from all of chapter 15 is one parable, but it's three parts. And he talks about the lost sheep, and then the lost silver, and then the lost son. And I believe that the emphasis of the whole parable is that there are people that are lost, and they're everyone important to God. The scribes and Pharisees, the publicans and sinners, verse 1 was murmuring. The Pharisees and scribes in verse 2 murmuring because Jesus was paying attention to sinners. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus let them know they ought to be caring for sinners as well. So we're looking at verse 11. We'll read it responsibly down through the end. And we'll read all this together. All right. We read it responsibly verse after verse. Verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured his living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. We'll stop there at the end of chapter 15. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Jacob, would you lead us, please, in prayer? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Well, I mentioned this is a familiar story, account given by our Lord. And this is a parable, which means that it is a story that we can understand, but it helps us by knowing the physical, it helps us understand the spiritual side of things. And so Christ is using this lost sheep, lost coin, and lost son again to show that lost things are important and they need to be found. Amen. And I really believe he's trying to get these Pharisees and Sadducees to see their lost condition. They see the sinner and they're saying, why is he spending time with a sinner? Well, Jesus wants them to know sinners are important to God. And God wants them to be found. But he also wants them to see in this parable of the two sons, there are two prodigal sons in chapter number 15 here. The word prodigal actually means wasteful is what it means. It has the idea of the word righteous living has that idea of prodigal. So there's one that is wasting his substance with righteous living. There's other that's wasting his time. He thinks he's serving the Father, but in his heart, he's not serving the Father. And that's where the Pharisees were, by the way. They thought they were serving God, but their heart was far from Him. Amen. And so he's trying to get them to see all that. Now that's the gist of the story. And it's familiar. I think we all know that. We've heard a number of sermons. I want to preach, rather than just a sermon on the prodigal son, I want to deal with a situation and a thought that I want to preach this morning. This is my title, Keeping the Far Country Far. Keeping the Far Country Far. I got to thinking about this situation here. As I said, we know the story as the prodigal son, the far country. And I got to think about how far was the far country from the father's house? How far was it? Well, it wasn't so far that this man couldn't go there. And it wasn't so far that this man couldn't come back from there. Amen. But it was far. That's what the Bible, that's how Jesus used it, the idea that it was far. Here's what I got to think of this young man. Doesn't look like he had to catch a bus. Doesn't look like he had to buy an airline ticket. Doesn't look like that he had, necessarily a long way to go. Although he may have had mountains to climb. He may have had valleys to go through and rivers to cross. And all that, he may have had a distance that he had to go there. But the point is this, I don't think when it calls it the far country, I don't think it's talking about longitude and latitude. I don't think it's talking about distance as far as miles. I think it's talking about this country was far from what his home was like. The rules were far different. The restrictions were far different. The morals were far different. The actions were far different. The loves and the interests were far different. Amen. And so I got to thinking about that and thinking we ought to look at that. These are far from the ways of the Father's house. Far from the way this young man had grown up. Now here's what I got to notice in this boy, if I could call him that. Now this boy is not interested just in putting distance between him and his family. He's not interested in just putting distance. He wants to get out from under those rules and under those regulations. Amen. He wants to get out from under those restrictions. He wants the liberty and the licentiousness, the opportunity to do what he wants to do. Right? By the way, you can sit in church and have a suit and tie on and be rebellious in your heart. This young man wanted to get away from those father's rules. Amen. So I've got 3 points this morning and probably not be long with it. But 3 points I want to think of. Number one, I want to talk about the lust of the far country. The lust of the far country. Verses 12 and 13. And the younger of them said unto his father, or said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all and took his journey into the far country and there wasted his substance with righteous living. You see, he had lust in his heart. He had a desire to get out from under his father's rules and regulations. Amen. You see that on young people a lot. Somebody sets them a rule and they don't like it. They act like a 2-year-old. Amen. Now they may be 12, but that just means they got 10 years acting like a 2-year-old. 10 years experience. Right? They may be 16, but they've got 14 years experience acting like a 2-year-old. Right? But all they got to do is make a rule and automatically they don't like it. Nobody going to tell me what to do. Nobody going to tell me how to dress, where to go, what to say, how to live my life. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's where this young man was. Rebellion in the heart. I'm going to tell you where it starts. It starts with lust in the heart. I don't mean sexual lust. Lust don't always mean sexual, by the way. It's just a desire to be your own boss. A desire to do your own thing. A desire to have what you don't have. Amen. That's the idea of that lust. But here's what I got to think about. This young man did not just wake up one day and find himself in the far country. His heart had already started leaning towards the far country before his feet ever took any steps. Amen. The far country already had his heart before his hide landed there. Right? Before he hoofed it over the mountains and the valleys to get it there, his heart was already there. He was already thinking. He'd already thought about it. He already wanted it. And he already planned how he could have what he wanted. This young man took steps to get to the far country. Are you following me? I don't just mean physical steps. He had steps in his mind, steps in his heart, steps in his actions, steps in his plans as to how he's going to wind up in the far country. Hold your place in Luke. Go with me to James, the book of James, chapter number 1, dealing with lust. This is a very good section of Scripture that deals with that. James, chapter number 1, chapter 1, verse number 13. By the way, they've been 10 years experience acting like a 2-year-old. Or 14 years experience acting like a 2-year-old. The time to stop that is when they're 2. Right? While you can stop it. Right? While you can stop it. The time to stop it's while they're young. Amen. But if you allow it to go, and you allow it to grow. Amen. The lust of the far country. James chapter 1 verse number, verse number 13. James chapter 1 verse 13. And 14. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. By the way, God didn't make you that way. You say, oh, I can't help it. That's just how I am. No, you can help it. God didn't make you that way. Amen. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Amen. So he said, by the way, every man is tempted, but what he's talking about, every man that is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Amen. So here's what I thought about. This young man that we're looking at in our text began thinking about the far country. His imagination caused him to long for the things that were in the far country. Amen. Do you remember, and I'll go into more of my notes in a minute, but do you remember that when Abraham and Lot, there's a famine in the land? Lot left with Abraham to go to, leave Ur of the Chaldees to come to the promised land, but a famine arose in the promised land, and Abraham goes into Egypt, and when he comes out, thank God he does, and Lot with him, but Lot's got a taste of something he never forgets. And in chapter number 13, when they divide, and Lot pitches his tent toward Sodom. When he's looking, he talks about how beautiful it was, and it reminded him of what it was like in Egypt land. Are you following me? Let me just give this idea. Parents, there are some aspects of the far country your children may never know if you don't buy them certain video games. They may never get a taste of it if you don't buy it for them to start with. Amen. If you don't allow them to watch certain television shows, go to movies, read certain books. Amen. You say, I can't control it. Yes, you can control it. You better control it. By the way, when you get to heaven and stand before the judgment seat of God, God's going to hold you responsible. Amen. He's going to hold you and I responsible. So this young man, he started imagining what it was like, and he started thinking about that far country, and his imagination caused him to long for the things that he imagined were there. He didn't go down there with the intention of landing in the hog pen. Nobody ever does. The first time they try smoking a joint, they don't think that's a gateway drug. Alcohol is probably the biggest gateway drug that there is. And then marijuana. And it just goes on down the line. The first time they, for example, the first time they try meth, they don't think that they're going to be at the bottom of the barrel. But that's where most of them wind up. He didn't intend on going to the hog pen, but his imagination led him there. Because in your imagination, you can't foresee every danger. In your imagination, you can't foresee every issue that's going to come up. So this young man allowed his heart to lust after the things of the far country, and then he allowed those lusts to entice him. And he found himself tempted and drawn away of his own lust and enticed, as James said that it was. His decline, his slide into rebellion and the far country did not start when he left home. It was already in his heart. It was already working on him before he ever left home. While he's still at the father's house, it's working on him. By the way, notice it had been working on his brother too in Luke 15. I'm back there. Luke 15 and verse 28. Let me go back to verse number, let me start with verse 25. Now his elder brother was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Now, there's a period there, but look at the next verse. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. It didn't say he went to see what these things meant. He heard there's a party at home. Now I want you to get this. He heard there's excitement at home, and he is not interested in being excited with his father and his father's house. They're having a good time, but he wants no part of it. His heart's already gone from the father's house, although his hide ain't. Right? All right, let's read on in verse 27. And he said to them, thy brother's come, thy father killed a fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. He's angry at his dad and angry at his brother, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Verse 29, and he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that boy always did exactly what his daddy told him to do and never one time transgressed? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. He's a Pharisee. He's a hypocrite. He's denying what reality is. He's boasting of his own goodness. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. And I wrote in the margin of my Bible, wrong friends. By the way, if you get wrong friends, you may stay at home for a while, but it'll start changing your taste for things at home. Amen. You get the wrong friends, and it'll start changing your opinion of the things at home. You'll start rising up in rebellion because of those wrong friends. Amen. Evil communications corrupt good manners, what the Bible says. They can be cousins. Amen. They can be fellow church members. But evil communications corrupt good manners. So this young man, the elder son, got angry because his dad was celebrating that his brother had come home. He exaggerated his claims of obedience, and he says, you never gave me a kid. You never let me have any fun. I've missed out on all the fun. Now here's where I want you to see. Here's what it looks like to me. Let me see if that's... Yeah, I'll get there. It looks like to me that this elder son is in the father's house and he's seething because he's missing out on all the fun. He thinks he knows what his brother's doing. And you know what he's imagining? That his brother is having fun. He don't imagine his brother broke. He don't imagine his brother forsaken of all of his friends. By the way, when you run out of money, the wine, women, and song are gone. And those fair weather friends will go with it. Right? And by the way, they'll laugh at you. And they'll mock you when all that happens to you. But this elder son, he thinks he knows what his little brother's doing. He thinks he's having fun. He don't imagine the hog pen that his brother's in. He don't imagine the repentance that's come over his brother. He don't imagine the steps that his brother's made to come back home. In his imagination, his brother's having all the fun and he's missing out. Let me tell you, you can sit in church and you can stew over what you're missing out on. And your imagination is enticing you to sin. Your own lust in the house of God is eating you up and enticing you to sin. There's the lust of the far country. Secondly, there's the lure of the far country. The lure of the far country. You see, we really, I've touched on this before, we really don't know how that younger son wasted his money. The Bible don't say that he went to the bar every night and got drunk. The Bible don't say that he is spending it on harlots. His brother said it, but the Bible don't say that. The Bible just said he wasted it. Right? He could have wasted it eating too high on the hog, although I doubt he's eating hog. Right? He could have wasted it buying too fancy a hog. Motorcycle. Anyway, let me get off of that. But he could have wasted it spending extravagantly. Are you following me? A lot of people do that. They waste what they have spending it wrong. And by the way, it's not wrong to do certain things, but if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. Amen. So, we don't know. We don't know how he wasted it. We just know that he wasted it. In verse number 13, these are the words of Jesus, red letter. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into the far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. Look up the word righteous. The idea there is drunken and gluttony. It's the word of righteous. It's the idea of wasteful spending. Right. So, perhaps he was drinking. I don't know if he was. Perhaps says wine, women, and song. That's how we tend to think of it when we think about that. But the word prodigal simply means he's a waster. And that's why we call him the prodigal son. But the older brother imagines that he has, look at verse 30. As soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. He imagined he's been laying with prostitutes. He imagines he's been running with the harlots, spending his money on harlots. Let me just ask you this. How did he know? Just ask this. Did he know? Or did he just imagine? Perhaps his heart was telling him, you know, your brother's doing what you wish you were doing. Your brother's doing what you would be doing if you had the chance. If you didn't have all these restrictions of your dad. If you didn't have the farm to take care of. If you'd have got gone before the younger brother got gone, you'd be the one out there having the big time. And he felt like he's missing out. There's the lure of that far country on that. Amen. Somehow, this older brother must have been keeping tabs on his brother's escapades. Now, I know we're living in a day now when boys go off, for example, they go off to the far country and they get their first tattoo, they put it on Facebook to brag about it. Or when a girl gets a tattoo, they put it on Facebook to brag about it. They write back home, they send word, they send pictures, they Snapchat, and they whatever, the FaceTime, and all the different things that they got, a million ways they can do it, ways I don't even know. Amen. I didn't know about the thing, I done forgot what it's called now, the website that all the gamers get on, that Discord, that's it, Discord, that where they was talking about killing Charlie Kirk before they killed him. I didn't even know about that, but a lot of people knew about it. And the thing is, they get on those places and they say, hey, I'm having a big time down here at the far country. And they say, don't you wish you was having a big time with me? This boy didn't have that kind of stuff. I don't know if he was keeping tabs, but it looks like he was. This is my thought. It looks to me like at least he had an ear out to see if he could hear any gossip about what his brother was doing. He at least had a longing in his heart to sort of figure out and in some way enjoy what his brother was doing in the far country. My point is this. Before the younger son left the father's house, he let the far country get too close to him. He got to thinking about it. Now the older brother ain't left dad's house yet, but he's let the far country get too close to him too. Amen. Now we can weep over people, and should, by the way, weep over people that grew up sitting on these chairs, grew up sitting under this kind of preaching, and threw it all away and went to the world. We can weep over them and should. But it's very possible to be sitting here today and have an ear towards the far country yourself. The far country have its hook in you and be luring you towards it. Amen. Thomas Watson said, I can't quote it exactly. I've got the quote somewhere on my tablet there. I saw it just the other day. I wasn't thinking about it in this message. But Thomas Boston said this. He said, when a person accepts the devil's bait, he will soon feel the devil's hook. That's right, isn't it? There's the lure towards this far country. I'm interested in trying to help some people keep out of the far country. And this is not just for teenagers. Teenagers need it, right? Young people need it. But this is for middle-aged, even older folk. We got to keep the far country far. Amen. We got to keep it away from us. We got to keep the far country out of our thoughts. We can't dream about what it'd be like in the far country. We can't allow that to draw us towards the far country. Amen. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter number 26. I've got a couple of texts we're going to look at. I'm coming back to Luke 9, 15 in a minute. But Isaiah chapter number 26. First major prophet. Isaiah 26. There's one verse, and everybody knows it, but I want you to see it. Look at it. Isaiah 26 and verse number 3. Isaiah 26, verse number 3. Are you there? The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Amen. If you want to stay in the Father's house and not slip out from the Father's house, keep your thoughts on God and not on the far country. Amen. Now go to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10. Again, familiar verses, thinking about thoughts. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, and verse 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 3 through 6. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. You know what he's saying? He's saying there's some thoughts you need to discard. You don't need to give them living quarters. You need to evict them. Right? Their thoughts that come in, they want to be squatters. They want to take up abode there, but they don't belong there. And you ought not give them room in your mind. and in your heart. You ought to evict them. Amen. Now, here's the way I wrote it. I think it's right. There are some books that you can read that will entice you towards the far country. Some music you listen to that will entice you to the far country. Some movies you watch. Some jokes you may hear. Some things you may say that will entice you towards the far country. You know what we got to do? We got to ask God to help us keep the far country far. Amen. Ask God to keep the far country far from you. Stay in the Father's house. Amen. You say, are you talking about church? Well, that fits. That fits. Stay in church. Enjoy fellowshipping with the Father and with the Son. Now, here's what that older brother, the problem with the older brother, he wasn't happy with the Father and he wasn't happy with the Son. Right? I'm talking about his earthly father and his earthly brother. His father's youngest son. By the way, the father wasn't showing more compassion to the younger son than he was to the older son. Matter of fact, it looks to me like he never left home and went seeking after that younger boy, but he left the party and went seeking after that older boy. If anybody's getting preferential treatment, it's the older son. Are you following me? One reason being, he ain't all the way in the far country. Daddy don't have to leave the field. He can stay in his rightful place and still go after that boy. Amen. But my point is this. That elder brother wasn't happy with his father or with his son. And there's a lot of people in church that they're just really not happy with God. They can't get excited about God. Now, they can get excited about a football team or a basketball team. Amen. Or a steak dinner. Or a yard sale. Or a big buck. Or an old friend coming over. I mean, the list is lengthy. Get excited about a lot of things, but not God. And not His Son. You know what? We got a fellowship with the Father and with His Son. Amen. I thought about this week. I don't want to be a part of a liberal church. I want to be conservative. Amen. I don't want to be a part of a church that lowers the standards and agrees with the world. Are you following me? I tell you, one way you can spot a liberal church, one thing, they'll stop having Wednesday night service. But if your church has Wednesday night service and you don't go, are you a liberal in a conservative church? Another way a liberal church, you find they'll quit having Sunday night service. They'll just have Sunday morning. Some of them quit having Sunday school. They'll just come in and drink coffee and eat donuts while the preacher's preaching. That's liberal. Right? Well, we got folks, members of a conservative church, don't come to Sunday school. You say, preacher, are you meddling? I'm trying to keep some people out of the far country. Amen. Keep the far country far. Stay in the Father's house. Stay in love with the Father and the Son. Amen. Enjoy the servants and the people that are there with you. Amen. Amen. All right. Before I close my message, I want to give you the final point. Briefly, really that was my message, really, was that keep the far country far. But we talked about the lust of the far country. We talked about the lure of the far country. I think I ought to talk about leaving the far country. One boy hadn't got there yet physically, but he was there in his mind and in his heart. The other boy had it in his mind and his heart. And he also wound up going there. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. Some people can think of sin and never commit it, but most people, if you think about it long enough, you will commit it. Start dreaming about it, thinking about it, imagining it. Listen, don't ever start thinking, I wonder what life would be like with her or what life would be like with him. Right. I'm talking about somebody other than the spouse you've got. Amen. Don't allow those thoughts to come into your mind. Yeah. Sometimes the wife is tempted. She says, well, he's a lot friendlier to me than my husband is. My husband used to be friendly. He talks to me more than my husband does. My husband used to talk to me. He listens to me more than my husband listens to me. He used to listen to me. I wonder what it'd be like to be with him. I'll tell you what it'd be like. Just like what you got right now. Except you'd been an adulterer, and then you'd have all that to fool with. Right. Then on the other hand, the husband, if he ain't careful, he'll start saying, you know, this lady shows me more respect than my own wife does. This lady shows me more honor than my own wife does. This woman seems to, she dresses to appeal to me more than my own wife does. And I'm not talking about sexual things there. I'm just saying, you like this? This is what I'm going to wear. Right? You got a favorite color? Then that's what she wears. Listen, don't ever let that get in your mind and start thinking, I wonder what life would be like with her instead of with my wife. Right. Amen. 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 There's a whole lot of people jumped out of one marriage into another, and they jumped out of it with a frying pan and into the fire. God can have mercy and make it work. Thank God if He does. But that don't make it right. So I'm talking about leaving the far country. I'm looking at verse 17 now. I'm trying to get there. Verse 17 through 20. And when he came to himself, he said, by the way, he said, who'd he say it to? He said it to himself. I don't know if he ever verbalized these words in verse 17, or if he just thought these words. And when he came to himself, that's when his mind cleared. He started thinking right. Right? He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He came to himself. He started thinking clearly. The same thing that caused him to be lured to the far country was thoughts. And thoughts about the far country, imagining the far country, made him long for things that he didn't have, that weren't his to have, that he probably had been taught better than to do. But now, sitting in that hog pen, God lets him come to himself. And he starts thinking about home. Things that he did have, but he gave away. You ever heard the old saying, you don't miss some things until they're gone? And that's true. I'm sure I've seen that so many times. You really miss those things when they're gone. And here's this younger man. He starts thinking the very same thing that caused him to go the wrong way. But he was thinking wrong then. Now he's starting to think right. Amen. Starts thinking about the Father's house. Amen. Now the thoughts about the far country led him away from the Father's house and into the hog pen. Now that he's in the hog pen, thoughts of his Father's house is going to lead him away from the far country. Amen. If you'll start thinking more about our Father's house in heaven than you do things in earth, you'll have a better life. Amen. It'll change your lifestyle. It'll change your opinions. It'll change your appetites. It'll change your attitudes. Amen. If you'll start thinking about the things of God rather than the things of the world. Amen. He began thinking about the Father's house, and his thoughts led him there. And I say, keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Hebrews talks about, Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Keep looking to Jesus instead of looking at the world. Amen. He thought about it, and then he made a determination to do something about it. And then he did something about it. There's a lot of people thought about it, but they ain't done anything about it. They haven't even made plans to do anything about it. Listen, if you know something's wrong in your life, why not at least start thinking about what could be done to make it right? at least start thinking about the steps that could be made to start making these things right. Amen. So he thought about it. He made a determination. And then he did it. There's a lot of people said, I'm going to, but they never have. Amen. I'm going to fill in the blank, but then they never do. What got this young man out of the hog pen was he started thinking right. He made a determination to do right, and he did it. Now, none of that, I'm not saying, listen, you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, but I want you to notice this. None of that would have availed anything if it hadn't been for his loving father that was at home. Make all the determinations you want about doing right, and you're not going to get right until you get to the Father. And you find a loving Father at home that's ready to forgive and ready to show mercy and ready to shower with blessings. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song this morning. Talk about keep the far country far. Don't just think about it. Don't just think about changing things, getting out of the far country. Do something about it. Maybe there's somebody here needs this message. Maybe there's somebody here needs to think about what you're thinking about. You need to redirect your thoughts from things that are leading you to the far country to things that would lead you to the Father's house. Amen. You ever had people, you say to somebody, you say, I'd like to have you come to church. They say, well, I used to go, but I found out there's hypocrites there. Listen, did you know the Sunday you got saved or the day you got saved, there's hypocrites there, but you just didn't know it. You wasn't thinking about it. You can come and get, you can meet with God today, even though there's hypocrites there, if you'll just think about God instead of thinking about the hypocrite. Amen. I told a young man when I worked in the glass factory in North Carolina, there was a man there that was a deacon in a Baptist church, Southern Baptist church. And that deacon cussed. That deacon talked dirty. And this is what this young man said. This young man said, he said, if he's going to heaven, he said, if he's a deacon and he's a Christian, then the woods are full of them. He said, I'll never go to church because of that man. He called that man's name. This is what I said. I said, you let him stay between you and God and you'll be going the same place he's going. You'll never get to God as long as this man is between you and God. You're going to have to let him go the way he's going and you get to God. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God this morning. Lord, I've tried to preach what you laid on my heart. I thank you for the thought. Unique it was to me, but I thank you, Lord, for it. I pray, Lord, help us to keep the far country far. Help some young man, some young woman, some married wife or some married husband, some father or mother, some child, son or daughter, to start paying attention to the way our thoughts are drawing us and enticing us and luring us into lust. And then, Lord, if there be one that's in that far country, maybe they haven't hit the hog pen yet, but they're in that far country wasting their life. Father, I pray you'd help them, that their thoughts would go back towards the Father's house and help them to be able to leave that far country by the good grace of God. I'm glad you're still willing and able to save, to forgive, to cleanse, and to work in our life if we'll allow you to. You're willing to revive. Father, I pray you would. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.